From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. The vision of Homeland Security is to ensure a homeland that is safe, secure, and resilient against terrorism and other hazards. That is the mission statement of the Department of Homeland Security's website. Is the agency fulfilling that mission? Well, last month, the Secretary of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, resigned. There are now 15 vacant positions at the top of the department, established after 9/11 by merging 22 different federal departments. Charles Kenny is a fellow at the Center for Global Development and the New America Foundation. His recent essay in Bloomberg Businessweek is titled "The Case for Abolishing the DHS." Charles Kenny, thanks for speaking to us today.
Thanks for having me.
Give us a sense of how big the Department of Homeland Security is.
Well, as you mentioned, it took over a whole load of different agencies back in 2002, Federal Emergency Management Agency, the TSA that guards airports and nowadays train stations and other places, Secret Service, Coast Guard. It's a large place, so large that the new building they are designing to put everybody in is costing $3-4 billion to construct.
Now, a lot of the analysis after 9/11 was that the nation's security system was too splintered. And the thought was that the Department of Homeland Security would weave this together in a more efficient and effective way. Is there any way of telling whether it has done that or not?
Well, it is a bit hard to tell. And one of the reasons it's a bit hard to tell is that it seems like, luckily, the threat that it was designed to counter, the threat of terror, is not as large as we thought it was likely to be in the aftermath of September 11th. That back in 2001, the Bush administration was really, and for all sorts of obvious reasons, very scared that we were seeing, a whole different nature of threats facing America, and the possibility of invisible enemies with new weapons and so on and so forth, and that we might face a terror attack like September 11th, frequently again. As it happens, it seems like September 11th was a terrible event, but a one-off event. And, in fact, there haven't been very many terror events since then. And terror is just way down the list of threats faced by the American people.
Could that be because the Department of Homeland Security is doing its job?
That's one possibility. But if you look at the list of sort of terror threats that have been defeated before they've taken place, the Heritage Foundation keeps such a list. That it's a pretty pathetic list, frankly. I mean, it involves lots of things like trying to take down bridges with acetylene torches and so on. We're not talking about mass terror events here. So even if there is a potential role being played by things like drone strikes, and even that is arguable, the role for the DHS itself in countering the terror threat is surely limited.
Would we know it? I mean, might they be solving terrorism and preventing terrorism in ways that they choose not to reveal out of fears that it might reveal their tactics, their techniques, their abilities?
Well, possibly, except they seem quite happy to tell us about stories when they emerge. Indeed, the TSA, for example, publishes lists of its best finds over the years. And so, a year ago, it came out with this list of best finds. It includes things like actually finding explosives. They weren't explosives being held by a terrorist. They were explosives being held by an idiot, frankly, but who wasn't planning to blow up a plane. Worryingly for the TSA, they found those explosives on the return flight. The guy had actually got away with carrying these things across the country, not back again. But the TSA is quite happy, for example, to come up with these lists. And these lists, again, don't suggest much in the way of threats. So this top 10 list they have of their catches didn't include a single terrorist.
Is the mission clearly defined, the vision being to ensure a homeland that is safe, secure, and resilient against terrorism and other hazards? Is that a clear, achievable goal?
I'm not too sure it is. I would say in defense of DHS that, when it comes to the other hazards, Department does seem to have got better. So DHS, as I mentioned, is in charge of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, known as the people who didn't respond terribly well to Hurricane Katrina, but also known as the people who responded much better to Hurricane Sandy. It's not that everybody in the DHS is chasing after white elephants, but some people working, many people indeed working in the department, are perhaps chasing after a rather small threat, and they have a very large budget to do that.
Charles Kenny, when you make the case for abolishing the DHS, I don't think you're talking about abolishing all its constituent services, like the Federal Emergency Management Agency, like the TSA, like the Secret Service. What are you talking about abolishing?
Abolishing the department itself. So most of these agencies had homes in other departments, but now, you know, they've all been put together under one department that is building this very expensive $4 billion new building. And over the last 10 years, the sort of the budget for the department as a whole has gone up dramatically. It's sort of almost threefold what it was in 2002. So what I'm talking about is paring down the budgets of the constituent agencies and abolishing the title of Secretary of Homeland Security. I mean, returning these agencies to where they were before. Some of these agencies do, you know, really important jobs that need to get done. I think there is, of course, a role for emergency response at the federal level, and you know, Hurricane Sandy, FEMA showed that it could do a good job. Again, I'm not suggesting that we can do without a customs agency, but maybe we can do with a customs agency that, you know, isn't quite as large as the current one has become.
How do you get right-sized on that? How do you know this much, this big, is big enough?
Well, one way to do it with things like the TSA is ask how much does the government spend to save lives in other cases. So, for example, you know, what are the costs of regulations in terms of, you know, costs per life saved when it comes to what the federal government demands in terms of health and safety in coal mines, as an example. If you compare the amount we're willing to pay to save the life of a coal miner in this country to the amount we're willing to pay to prevent a single death from terror in the air, the numbers are just completely out of whack. We're spending huge, many multiples as much against the terror threat as we are against much bigger threats that kill much more people. I mean, even in the year 2001, you know, a terrible year for terror in the United States, more people died of drowning. Now, there isn't a department of, you know, drowning prevention in the United States, and I'm not suggesting there should be, but a department set up in order to deal with this threat that is, you know, a terrible threat, and I don't mean to downplay it, but compared to these other threats that the United States faces, is not a very major threat. It's a department that, you know, is going to be in search of a mission, in search of a budget, getting, you know, too much money for the job it's got to do.
Charles Kenny, a fellow at the Center for Global Development and the New American Foundation, his recent essay in Bloomberg Business Week titled The Case for Abolishing the DHS. Charles Kenny, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.